You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback, I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
You're listening to Living Better in San Diego. I'm your host, Pepper. Country singer-songwriter, mental health advocate, and now author Stephanie Quayle has just released her highly anticipated debut book, Why Do We Stay? How My Toxic Relationship Can Help You Find Freedom. She was just at the ALA conference last week, and she's on the line to discuss toxic relationships. Thank you for joining me.
Oh, thank you. Man, you know, it's such an interesting topic, toxic relationships, isn't it?
Well, start by telling us, why do you think people stay in toxic relationships?
Well, I think from my perspective and what I've learned through spending quite a lot of time on this subject is I think first and foremost, in my case, I romanticized and I potentialized. So I didn't see the person in front of me. I saw the person that I hoped they would one day be. And that's a very tricky place to be because we all look at potential. Oh, they've got such great potential. But I think where we sometimes lose our footing is we don't see the signs right in front of us of unhealthy behavior, of unhealthy relationships. And so we stay in hopes that maybe eventually that other person will get better or we will get better to then make it better. And I think we really have to lean on what we see in front of us is what we get. And really, if that person is and we can accept them in all that they are, all their flaws, and if it's a healthy relationship and really accept that person, then that's probably a healthy place to start from, right? If it's a romantic relationship or a business relationship, I think that if you're already feeling hesitant and like, oh man, if only this person was different, then they would be perfect. That's not a good thing.
Can you tell us what was going on in your life 24 hours before your relationship ended?
Oh gosh. Wow. Go right to it. Right to it. Okay. And this is really important. So 24 hours before I lost the love of my life in a plane crash, we were at dinner in Santa Monica, California, talking about flying to Vegas because I was feeling lucky. And literally the night before. And the next morning, I take his daughter to school. We say our goodbyes. He goes to work. We talk to him after I pick his daughter up from school. And that's the last time I ever talked to him. And about an hour and a half after I took his daughter home from school, we're doing homework and I'm cooking dinner, I got the call that there had been an accident at the Santa Monica airport. And at that time, I didn't know what, if he had died, if there was still a chance that he was alive. So I got his daughter in the car as quick as I could, got her to the airport. And unfortunately, he had very tragically crashed on the runway. And talk about the most shocking, debilitating, tragic moment of my entire life, to have to watch his daughter watch that and experience that. There's just nothing like it. I just have so much compassion for parents with kiddos and kiddos that have had to experience great tragedy because I was an adult, you know, at the time, and it's taken me so long to really understand the magnitude of that trauma. And so I just think about the kiddos, and she was 12 at the time, and she has made tremendous strides and tremendous growth in her own healing, which really led me to dive deep into my own, because for so many years, the pain was so great that I didn't want to, I just wanted to outrun it. And 5 days after the plane crash, where when we had his public service at the Santa Monica Airport, that's when I discovered I wasn't the only woman in his life. And then that night it was confirmed through a friend. So my grief, the time of my grieving was very truncated, and I went immediately into I've been betrayed and my whole life is a lie, and then having to unravel that and navigate that. And I didn't do it well, complete honesty and complete transparency. It's part of the reason why I wrote this book, is because I didn't seek help. I thought that I could just work my way through it, power through it, just get over it, like was suggested to me by loved ones who just hated watching me hurt. It's really hard for us, the ones we love, hurt. And it eventually caught up to me. And that catching up has led to the greatest healing and the greatest freedom. And that's what led to the book.
You talk about how you lost your ex-boyfriend and that's how you got out of your toxic relationship. Why do you think you stayed as long as you did?
I think I stayed for so many reasons. I loved him. I wanted it so badly to work. And instead of really identifying how unhealthy it was, I just kept working on me. I just kept going, well, if I get better, if I do more, if I, you know, you name it, I tried everything. And at the end of the day, he had his hurts that were great and his reasons for being the way he was, right? And I think that I just had built this family and I didn't want to lose it and I didn't want to leave it. And even at the cost of myself. And that's a tough thing to say, but it's a very honest thing to say. And I believed him and I believed in us when it was really good. So even in those times when it was so unhealthy and very bad, those little glimmers of hope would keep pulling me back.
You've mentioned that after that toxic relationship ended, you wound up in another one. What are some characteristics of toxic relationships that you experienced but might seem normal? And what are the characteristics of toxic relationships we should all be looking out for?
Yeah, I think that's really powerful. Well, first and foremost, and I just want to reiterate this because I didn't do the work in between, as I say, toxic number one and toxic number two. Had I found and sought counsel, not only with grief, but really understanding the magnitude of what toxic relationships mean and the terminology, narcissism, love bombing, all those things that now is kind of tip of the tongue and we talk about very openly, at that time, which was 15 years ago, I didn't have that knowledge. I didn't have this book. And so first things first, my intuition was very aware of when things didn't add up, but I overrode it. So when I would cock my head sideways and go, wait, that doesn't add up, or what does that mean? And when it was met with defensiveness, when my questions were met with you're crazy, you're insecure, or, you know, heightened defense, that was a big red flag that I, again, made excuses for. I think, you know, when we're having to make excuses for other people's bad behavior, that's a surefire sign. Another thing that I didn't realize was a sign of toxicity is this whole idea of love bombing, where someone is overwhelmingly sharing gifts and love and affirmation, and where you're like, maybe this is what I've been missing out on all the time. In actuality, it has a lot of toxic tentacles with it because it can be very manipulative and misleading. I think about my now relationship, I've been married. We just celebrated our 9-year wedding anniversary on the 20th, and how stable and secure and not dramatic it is, right? And I think a lot of times that drama can come across as passionate when actually it's just drama to distract us.
At some point, you stopped trusting yourself and your intuition. How did you start listening to yourself again? And how did you learn to trust your own intuition again?
Yes. Well, I had to get to a breaking point. And in my case, that breaking point came when I learned that the second toxic relationship, that he was cheating on me, and that I had was able to identify who the person was. And I actually sought her counsel. I reached out to her and I begged her to sit down with me because I still didn't have the strength to walk away. I needed more. Anyone listening is probably going, are you kidding me? It's so obvious. I know. I know it is now. But when I was in it, I was in it. So I sat down with her and she was able to give me just another layer of information that everything he was telling me was also a lie. And I was also seeking therapy and grief counseling, as well as grief support, or you're in a group of the most vulnerable strangers that become first name friends. So little by little, I gained that strength back and was able to leave. But it took a long time. And that's one of my hopes, is that as others read the book or listen to it on Audible, that they can, you know, learn from me, get the tools and the terminology through Dr. Keith Campbell, who's, you know, been researching this and studying this for over 30 years, and really have the story, be able to remember back to the terms and knowing when we're in it, because sometimes it can be very overwhelming and we miss a lot of the signs. And I think a lot of times, you know, our friends and family who are precious and we love them say all the wrong things, like, get over it, move on, you're mm-hmm. smarter than this, how did you miss this? And I completely understand that perspective. It's not the most helpful perspective. So I think really leaning into, the more we have understanding, the easier it is for us to strengthen our intuition and not question ourselves. If I hadn't questioned myself in either of those relationships, I wouldn't have been in either of them. I wouldn't have stayed. But I was in constant question of myself. So one of the things that I've really been working on these last few years, especially with writing the book, because it's so self-revealing, as I was writing it, I just got caught in my own breath of, with my own words, like, these are your feelings. This is what happened to you. And I even had to check myself with my mom and my stepmom just to make sure I wasn't having a memory of something that wasn't really true, or, you know, was I exaggerating? I wanted to be really steadfast in that authentic voice, especially because how can I expect anyone else to go to their dark places and go to, you know, where you've swept it under the rug or hidden it away and tried to, you know, avoid it? How can I ask someone else to go do if I wasn't willing to do it myself? So talk about, boy, did I get a lesson in myself. I feel like I've got a pretty good idea who this woman is now.
I'm speaking with country music singer-songwriter, mental health advocate, and author Stephanie Quayle, who has a new book out called Why Do We Stay? How My Toxic Relationship Can Help You Find Freedom. Why did you choose the title Why Do We Stay instead of Why Did I Stay?
Well, that was a very conscious decision. And the reason is because we're all in this together. And there's a lot more we out there than I ever expected. And I experienced that through sharing the album On the Edge, which was really the first time I publicly shared any of these stories. And I felt like an island until I got messages from countless people that had experienced some form of my story. And that was just in the song. So as we were coming up with the book, we just felt that that was a much more powerful statement to say, hey, we are all in this together. We've all fallen prey to toxic relationships in some sense. We've all experienced narcissism. Sometimes it's a family member. Sometimes it's a loved one. Sometimes it's a business relationship. So the we just felt more inclusive, and it felt like more of a conversation versus like a here's my story, if that makes sense.
Can you tell us about some of the lies you believed at the beginning of your relationships that set you up to not recognize when someone is toxic?
Sure. I think, especially in the first relationship, you know, were there moments where I would catch him flirting with other women, or there would be a glance or, you know, between two people, and I'm like, wait, what's right in front of me? And I remember every time I questioned it, I was met with such disregard, such minimalization, and specifically the words, you're so insecure, you're so crazy. And that minimalization, as it continues to grow and grow and grow, it can be very, not only disheartening, but you just lose your voice. I lost my voice in that. And that was one of those lies that I believed because I started to question myself. And I had grown up a pretty strong-willed, self-sufficient little Montanan farm kid, you know, like we didn't even really talk about words like insecure. And I never heard about the word crazy until I heard men started saying it. So it caught me hard. And then I started going, well, maybe I am. Maybe it is me. Maybe this is some untapped emotion that I haven't experienced yet. And that was really hard. Now on the other side, because what I put myself through trying to figure myself out versus really addressing the unhealthy behavior and standing up for myself. When I think back to any time I would then lean into getting stronger physically, going to the gym, or any moments like that, you know, it was, again, minimized. And little phrases that you wouldn't think that would have such a hold. I remember I got back from the gym. I was feeling so proud. I had like maybe a one pack, maybe showing it's working. And I was proud because I went to the gym, which I really don't enjoy. And Paulo just looked at me and he goes, "Oh, I see you're bulking up." And it was dismissive and it was, "You're getting bigger." And I immediately got rid of my gym membership and I just felt so defeated. And moments like that too, when he said, he only called me by my last name, he said, "Hey Quail, your face is finally cracked. 20 something year old. And now I've been branded as maybe I've aged out." And it stuck with me and it has stuck with me. And when I think back to just the words and how words can be so weaponized towards us, and that can still, like, as I'm saying this to you now, 15 years later, I can still think back to that young woman who is just trying to love a man and a good woman figure in his daughter's life, a mother-like figure. And that just that breaks my heart, you know? And I think in whole, we misuse our words and we can be very cutting with something so small. I reflect back on that a lot and I think about my words much more than I ever have because they're so potent.
You write that we often ignore the cracks, the warning signs that we choose not to see. Do you have any tips for people, whether they're single or in a relationship, to strengthen Sure. their sense of self?
I think one of the things that is really standing out to me as I reflect back is when I wake up in the morning, how do I feel about me first? Without looking at your phone or without looking at the person you're with, or if you're single, like, how do you feel about you just when you first open your eyes? And that let that be the foundation and where you start your day from. And if you're feeling a little low, how you can, whatever you need to do for you to get you to that place. I think a lot of times, you know, when I think about different people that have come in and out of my life, I woke up feeling okay about me, liking myself, being like, okay, today's going to be a good day. And watching how that personal meter would shift based on other people's influence. And I think that the sooner we can alleviate people from having that kind of impact on us, if it's, you know, this just doesn't work for me and them no longer being in our lives, or if it's just understanding that you're dealing with a narcissist, maybe it's a family member. And as Keith says, keep it short and shallow because narcissists love to hear themselves talk and they really aren't interested in what the other people have to say. I think as we get those tools, we get that confidence and then we can navigate life, which is hard. Life is hard. It comes with a lot, ups and downs and ebbs and flows and all the things. The stronger we do get just on our own, because we are all we have for the rest of our lives, right? I am going to be with me until my very last breath. That is the only guaranteed person that will be there, right? So how am I treating me and taking care of me? And it makes huge impact on how we relate to others. And I have boundaries now that I've never had before. I used to spend hours trying to get to the bottom of people's bad behavior, right? Trying to understand. And I don't do that now because those hours are precious. And so when someone has those toxic traits, or especially in business, I've got that super heightened sense now. And understanding that, I don't spend that time. I address it kindly and then I move on, which that's all new territory, right? Because we only are really able to learn it as we experience. We can read about it and have the insight and then be able to really, you know, move forward in the healthiest way possible. So I'm excited when I think about people getting a hold of this book. If I had this book in my early 20s, where would I be now? When I think about friends and people that have reached out since reading the book and just having understanding of going, oh, that's what happened to me too. I wasn't crazy. And I think about that, you know, how quickly we are able to write off people as crazy or write them off as narcissists. When we really understand the words and the terms we're using, we might be a little slower to respond with some of the words we use to explain people's behavior.
Let's talk about the importance of friendship, especially when you're in an unhealthy relationship. After you asked yourself, who can I trust? How did you move forward to create solid relationships with those people?
Yeah, that's great. Well, my friendship group got a lot smaller because I learned very quickly that a lot of people knew the truth and then chose not to tell me. Now, I say this with a disclaimer. It is tricky when you know that someone is being lied to or cheated on or and. So that's a personal choice. for each and every person, right? What I had to do was I had to allow my friends, the ones that I kept close, to show up for me and confirm that I could trust them. And the ones that I could stayed and the ones that I couldn't, I had to remove from my daily interactions and conversations and most intimate of conversations. You know, I think that you can have acquaintances that you don't have that trust with. And then there's a few friends and family members that you just know will take everything you say and protect it and also hold you accountable. And I think that with the friendship group I have, my friends will hold me accountable. So if I say something, I don't have yes friends. And I really have friends that level me up and that we all stretch each other. And the same thing with my husband and my family. We really seek to be our best self. And that takes time. And I think I learned that I don't have to be everyone's friend. And that's not a very fair friend to be, because then you're just giving little bits of yourself to a lot of people versus being a really great friend to those few that you know you can count on. And, you know, I had Michelle, for example, in the book that morning of the plane crash, you know, before the crash had happened, she said to me, I will listen to you, but you will never leave him. And I was confiding in her and I was frustrated and I was hurt. And it's just so interesting how quickly 24 hours can change from the night before being, you know, let's go to Vegas, I feel so lucky, to feeling completely dismissed the next morning, to confiding in one of my dearest friends. And she's saying the words, you will never leave him. And then him crashing in that plane that night. So it's just really a lot of intense emotion. And I think that when we're with people, like when they show us who they are, we need to believe them versus making them something more or less of what they are.
How did you know that you were ready to stop the cycle and prepare for something better?
Well, it unfortunately got very dangerous. And I say that because the night that I learned that second toxic relationship, that he was cheating on me, I just immediately went into a very self-destructive mental state. And I remember calling my stepmom on the way home and just saying, I don't know if I'm going to be able to stay on the road. I just was so tired of the hurt and the pain, and going back to, I hadn't addressed it. And so that night I drank myself to a very dark place. I called what I refer to him as the prince in the book. I called him and I said, I'm done. And I was done with me. And I said, I'm the one that keeps doing this. I'm the common denominator and I'm done hurting. And that's when he actually called the woman that had disclosed to me that he'd been cheating on me, and they were able to get a wellness check, suicide prevention counsel from Vanderbilt to my sweet friend who was out of town's house that night, and were able to see that I was going to be okay. And that next morning, when I went downstairs to make breakfast and they'd put the knives up, that hit my soul that these precious people had to experience and witness my pain so great that they put the knives up. And that was my must moment. That I think we have these moments throughout our lives where things become a must, and it's in an instant sometimes. And in that case, it was that instant where I had to take self-accountability, because I didn't want to die, just didn't want to hurt anymore. And numbing the pain, I'm very lucky and very blessed to still be here. You know, that could have ended very differently. And then I got to work, and you name it, from books, therapy, grief counseling, grief support. I did it all. And that's not something that I've ended. I continue to learn more, research more, understand more. And I also expose so much of myself in this book, because there's a lot of shame and embarrassment that comes with owning our stuff. And if there's one person that hears what we're talking about and it gives them hope and maybe a new footing, then that's pretty spectacular. And I wouldn't choose the pain that I experienced, never, but I'm grateful that we can have this conversation. And I'm grateful that his daughter is thriving. And I'm grateful that I get to be free now because I've done the work, and share that freedom forward and Keith's expertise to give others maybe a glimpse of a conversation that has been hidden away.
You're a country music recording artist and a songwriter, so a lot of your creativity involves storytelling through music. Is there a different level of healing by writing your story for a book than there is when you're writing a song?
It's so uniquely different. And I never really understood the idea of it until I experienced it. So with songwriting, you know, I have 3 minutes to convey a lot, or 3.5 minutes to convey a lot. But then the person that's listening to that song is interpreting it, right, in their own life. And I mean, that's how I listen to music, right? I hear a song that has nothing to do with anything, and it becomes the soundtrack to a moment that's very happy. And then you read the lyrics, you're like, oh, this is not a happy song, you know? And it just has that, music is just so powerful and so potent and so healing. Writing it on the page took on a different life because there's no room for interpretation. And it's just my words, black and white on the page. And as I was writing it, it hit me much differently. As I was reading it, it hit me much differently. As I was doing the audio, it hit me much differently. And when I say that, as I was writing the book, I would have to step away. And there were moments that took my breath and moments where I recognized I hadn't fully healed from trauma, from those moments and from that time. I had to really give it a breath and feel it and heal it. Right. And when I was doing the audio, I was really curious if the parts that had kind of taken my breath while writing it would be the same. And they were not, which was shocking to me. And just how our brain takes in information, if we're reading it through our, you know, eyes, if we're hearing it through our ears, if we're listening to a song or watching a music video, which then takes on a whole different life because you're getting the visual and the hearing. You know, it's just really incredible how we can heal and in so many different forms. And for me, it took the music first because I'd never put story in a song or songs, let alone an album. And then it kind of opened me up to, okay, I can go there and I can go deeper. And I think when we were first talking about this book and what we wanted it to be, taking it from the memoir space and putting it in the self-help space really just lit me up inside because it gave it such purpose, right? It's, yes, it's the story of what happened to me, but there's the tools to understand the terminology. I didn't have that. I didn't have a guide. And we learn so well through storytelling. And then to have Keith's expertise just giving it the placement, right? And how these things happen. I'm just really grateful that we have this to share.
What would you say to someone who is being impacted by a toxic relationship right now?
Well, first things first, I think sometimes it's very easy to project our thoughts and feelings onto others, right? So many to me. And I didn't have the ears to hear it. So one part would be like, hey, have you ever heard of this book? Take a read. Let me know what you think. Let me know if anything resonates in a very casual, low-key way. I would probably ask them if they're open to hearing my story, if I was going to have a conversation, or if they shared it, you know, hey, this is what's going on with me. What do you think? Because I'm not an expert, right? I'm not a psychologist. I'm just becoming an expert in myself and sharing a very personal story to hopefully help others. If someone makes you worse about yourself than you did before you were around that person or in conversation with that person or talking to that person, I'd start there. You know, I don't think we're meant to be in mental anguish and wonder, and not the good kind of wonder, like wondering what the heck is going on and be in this constant state of confusion. I think we're really supposed to be internally at peace so that we can give our best selves to anyone we encounter. I'd probably say too much to this person, and then they would be like, who is this lady? but I am that person that if I know of something, I'm going to share it. And if I lose a friendship over it, I'm willing, because I was not given that up. And so I stand firmly in that. I'm kind of okay if people disagree with me on that. I was not given the opportunity to know the truth. And the truth was known by some of my friends. And that was really awful. So when it comes to like my close friends and family, if I know something's going on, I'm like, hey, I'm going to tell you the truth. And then it's up to the person to what they want to do. And circumstances are so different. If you're dating someone, Akia says this great phrase, U-Haul and write a note, get out of there. If you're dating someone, the stakes are low. If you're in a committed relationship and you're living together and there's children involved and you're married and you're sharing businesses, there's a lot more to take into account. It's not so easy as someone saying, well, you need to leave. There's a lot more that goes into that. And that's really where I lean into, find your support. And there's so many incredible resources that they might have existed 15 years ago. I didn't even have the wherewithal to seek that out. And so I just encourage everyone to, man, we have to do this by ourselves. And we're not meant to. And there's no shame in saying, I made a mistake. I stayed too long. That was unhealthy. I saw what I chose to see instead of what was right in front of me.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback, I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
I've been speaking with country music singer, songwriter, mental health advocate, and author Stephanie Quayle. She's just published her new book, Why Do We Stay? How My Toxic Relationship Can Help You Find Freedom. Stephanie, how would you like us to get your book, and how can we connect with you?
Thank you so much. You can get the book where you buy books online. If you go to Amazon, you can buy it there. Please review it. Even if it's only one star, I'll take it. And all my social media, please send me a message. If the book resonates, I would love to hear from you. That's just Stephanie Quayle. I'm on YouTube and TikTok and Instagram, Facebook, anywhere. I'm on the Google. I'm on X, of course. And then StephanieQuayle.com for all of my book tour dates as well as concert dates.
Thank you so much for speaking with us today and for being brave enough to share your story, not only through this book, but also through your music.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate you taking the time.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback, I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces, like the gorgeous Sophia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy Bobo-pedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.